Do we have Richard Sutherland from England present today? And also Lisa Bossman from Germany. I'd also see if our state senators are here. Pam Reeser, is she present, or Susan Fargo? And we'd also like to recognize our state representative, Thomas Conroy, who'd like to read a certificate to one of our residents.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I am here and I am privileged to award two certificates to individuals who have served this community as representatives of the school committees. First, to Lori Wishner for her 10 years of dedication and commitment and hard work serving on the Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School School Committee. And the second for Bill Braun, who has served for 12 years on the K-8 Sudbury School Committee. And this is, I've got certificates for each of them, which I can deliver later, but it's a citation, in essence, from the House of Representatives, and it's in recognition of their commitment and dedicated service to their school committees, and it's awarded by the entire membership of the State House of Representatives and wishes them the hope for the future and good fortune and continued success in all of their endeavors. So, thank you, Bill, and thank you, Lori, for your tremendous service to the town. And we wish you best of luck and hope you can find it in your ways to serve again at some future date. Thanks.
We also have with us tonight the superintendent of Minuteman Regional Vocational Technical School District, Ed McQuillan, and also Paul Lynch, who is Sudbury's representative. If you can stand up, Ed. Welcome. Also joining us tonight is Sudbury resident Paul Lynch. Paul, will you stand for a moment? Paul is our Sudbury's representative to Minuteman. Paul has diligently served as Sudbury's representative to the school district, the school committee, Minuteman, for 7 years as Sudbury's representative. Paul is stepping down this year. We thank him very much for his outstanding service. And since Paul is stepping down, we're looking for volunteers. It's a 3-year term. The commitments are 1 day a month is the school committee meeting. If you happen to be serve on a subcommittee, that's another meeting a month. Annually, you have to meet with the finance committee of the Minuteman budget and also meet with the selectmen once a year to update the selectmen on what's happening at Minuteman. So I would ask anyone who's interested in serving to look in the back of your warrant where there's an application form, a general application form, or if you prefer, just send your resume, either one to the selectman's office, and we hope a bunch of people do that and we can choose a very qualified candidate. We'd appreciate that. Thank you very much. I recognize Selectman O'Brien for a resolution in memory of those citizens who have served the town and passed away during this year.
Whereas the town of Sudbury has enjoyed the blessings of those in the community who gave their time and talent to enrich the quality of life in our town, and whereas this past year has seen several of its citizens and employees who have rendered public service and civic duty pass from among us. Now therefore be it resolved that the town of Sudbury hereby expresses its deep appreciation for the services and gifts of the following departed: Marvis Milton Fickett, Josiah F. Frost, Stephen J. Halloran, M. Claire Mullen, Dorothy J. Piper, Anna Schoschert, Wilford Spiller, Z. Stanley Tell, medical doctor, Arthur A. Walker. I apologize, I skipped a page. Mr. Floyd Stiles. And be it further resolved that the town of Sudbury and town meeting assembled record for posterity in the minutes of this meeting its recognition and appreciation for their contributions to our community.
For many years, it has been a tradition at the annual town meeting to honor one of our citizens who has performed valuable service for the town by asking him or her to make the motion under Article 1 of the warrant. This year, we honor Winnie Grinnell. Let me tell you all about her. Winnie Grinnell moved to Sudbury in 1958. If you were born after 1958, please raise your hand. Turn around, Winnie. Look at all these people. She registered to vote on February 10, 1959, and has probably missed extremely few town meetings in her almost 50-year history as a Sudbury resident. In fact, those of you who know, she sits in the same seat every year, and the reason she does is because she gets here at 6:30. Winnie has served on the following committees: Memorial Day Committee 1980 to the present, Veterans Advisory Committee 1993 to the present, and she serves as its chairperson, Election Officer 2002 to the present. In commemoration of Patriots Day, Winnie personally places about 70 Betsy Ross flags on veterans' graves and another 500 U.S. flags out for Memorial Day. She also ensures that every veteran has an appropriate grave marker. Grinnell Park, at the intersection of Hudson and Concord Roads, was named in honor of her late husband, Frank Grinnell, a World War II veteran who served on the Board of Assessors and many other boards and committees as well. Winnie, would you stand and give us the honor of being recognized and reading Article 1? Is there a second? Thank you. Finance Committee have a position? No. Selectman?
No, Mr. Moderator.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion under Article 1 signify by raising your cards. Thank you. All those opposed? Thank you very much. I'd like to go over a few procedural matters. I hope everyone has had a chance to review the warrant and familiarize yourself with the summary of basic town meeting procedures and motion primer in the beginning of the warrant on pages Roman numeral 2 and Roman numeral 5. If you don't have a warrant, we have some extras right up here in front. There'll be no smoking in the halls. Please take the time at this moment to check your cell phones to make sure that they're off. If you wish to be recognized, when you are recognized, please give your name and address each time you speak in order to assure a clear audio tape record. If you desire to be recognized, please raise your card. Do not stand at the microphones. I will be able to see you in your seat, and if you are sitting there or standing, Mike, and I recognize you, you may go there to speak. Otherwise, wait for a runner to bring you a handheld microphone. The mic will be on. You do not have to blow in it. Just wait one second and speak, beginning with your name and address. We are using Boy Scout runners again this year because, as you recognize, we have some very long aisles, making it difficult for a voter in the middle to get up to a standing mic to speak. The Boy Scouts tonight, I believe, are Martin Falk and Leif Scramstead and Mark Vogel. We thank you very much for your service tonight. We'll take care of that right now. Thank you. If you are sitting next to a vacant seat, could you raise your hand and with the number of fingers that you have vacancies next to you? Yes, could you raise your hands and keep them up high, please? Anybody who's standing, can you just look and see that anyone who has his hand raised and come sit in those seats, please? Yeah, we've tried that in prior years, and we usually have an insurrection. Keep your hands raised. Can everyone come forward and grab a seat where someone has his hand raised? We have about four or five seats down here in the third and fourth row, right up front. If you have a seat vacant next to you, could you please stand up and raise your hands? That way everyone can see you. Please, come take a seat. A lot of people standing. Elaine. Okay. Could the police officers, Jim and Ken?
I'm very happy it got done because the contract went broke. It still came back.
And if you haven't found a seat yet, anyone who's still standing in the seats can sit down now. Anybody who hasn't found a seat yet, please go upstairs to the balcony. Nobody is allowed to stand or sit in the aisle. I'd like to go over a few procedural issues with you, please. I hope everyone... No, we did that. All motions of substance, and that includes main motions and motions to amend the main motion, should be delivered to myself, the assistant town clerk, and the ViewGraph operator in writing before they are made. Also, you should give a when you make that motion or amendment, you must do so when first recognized and not at the end of a statement or question. Only registered voters of the town and non-resident town employees may speak without leave of the hall. Non-residents are required to sit in the last two rows on either my right or my left to the rear of the auditorium. I caution those of you who are here because of a special matter of concern not to bolt the hall as soon as you have voted on the matter. You'll be showing your neighbors a courtesy by listening to their articles as they have listened to yours. Please be reminded that if you present or speak on articles, the bylaws require that presenters speak for a total of 10 minutes, whether you have one person presenting or five people presenting, and speakers speak for a total of 5 minutes. Kindly plan accordingly, as requests to exceed those limits are not granted freely. Unless you move in the words of the article as printed in the warrant, every presenter must tell the hall of any word changes in the motion and how they differ from the words that voters saw in the warrant. Counting will take considerably longer in this auditorium because of the long rows with no aisle breaks. So please do not ask for a head count by tellers unless you are sure that there has been a miscalculation. I assure you that unless the standing vote is obvious, I will call for a head count myself. If you wish to vote on an article and you are at home watching on cable TV, I strongly suggest you leave well before the discussion begins on your article so you have adequate time to park, check in at the tables inside the side doors, and find your way to the auditorium, or in this case, the balcony of the auditorium, before the doors are locked during the vote count. You are not allowed to leave, and you're not allowed to enter during a counted vote count, and the police officers will be barring the doors. And the reason for that is because we will not be able to get an accurate count. The percentage vote required for passage of an article is set forth in the warrant next to each article. A brief comment on reconsideration, given that it was requested twice by the losing parties in a recent annual town meeting. Both lost overwhelmingly on the reconsideration vote. There is a long tradition in Sudbury of only granting reconsideration in very limited circumstances, namely, when there was such a misstatement of fact during the original vote that enough voters would have voted differently on that original article so as to change the result of that vote. In the 37 years that I've lived in town, reconsideration has succeeded less than a handful of times for that very reason. There are many town meeting attendees who vote in favor of an article that failed, but still vote against reconsideration for that reason. I would appreciate that you not clap or hiss or boo or make other audible noises for or against any speaker or during or after any presentation. Speakers may not make disrespectful comments, whether directed at a voter, speaker, or a town official. Let me repeat that. Speakers may not make disrespectful comments, whether directed at a voter, speaker, or a town official. If you do, you will lose your right to speak on that issue. My job as moderator is to ensure full and open discussion and fair play on each article. Your job as legislators is to ensure goodwill and respect for differing views. I recognize the chairman of the Board of Selectmen, John Drabinski, for a State of the Town address.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator, and good evening and welcome to the 2008 annual Sudbury Town Meeting. And I don't know where Winnie is, but Winnie, thank you very much, and you did a great thing for Sudbury, so keep it up. After last Monday's vote in the Daily Economic News, how is the state of the town? I strongly suggest Sudbury is still a great place to live, a great place to raise children, a great place to recreate, and a great place for seniors to reside. Yes, there'll be changes ahead of us, but we have faced numerous challenges before. In the past, our sense of community, our sense of place, and our sense of stability have prepared us to move forward, and we continue to move forward. Our town has great volunteers, dedicated professional staff, hardworking board and committee members who will continue to serve Sudbury. We have great schools, great facilities, and great open space. With this town meeting, we will continue to improve our community. With the passage of Article 20, senior tax deferral, more seniors will become eligible for tax deferral and thus able to remain in Sudbury. Passage of Articles 33 and 34 will allow the town to preserve a unique treasure called Knobscot. Passage of other articles will allow us to continue historic preservation and continue to enhance our housing diversity. Going forward this year, the Board of Selectmen will continue to work with the Finance Committee and the School Committees to examine our cost structure and to determine additional sources of revenue. We will continue to expand on our goals. For example, we will promote safety and well-being of the community by enhancing our disaster preparedness. We will continue our programs and management approach to protect the financial health of the town with the goal of maintaining our AAA bond rating. We recently have appointed a budget review task force to help us develop recommendations to enhance revenues and to look at expenditure cuts. We will continue to emphasize long-term strategic planning, especially along transportation and wastewater issues along Route 20. But also, we'll look at diversity in housing at the same time to protect and enhance our environment. Working with a non-override budget will have challenges for sure. But excellence in education is a priority, and we will work hard with our state legislators to demand Sudbury's fair share of state funding. Finally, we plan to reach out to the community to communicate, to educate on our progress and programs. As the town moves forward, it is up to us as the citizens who must work collectively and collaboratively to maintain the sense of place and sense of community. Thank you very much.
I understand the Finance Committee will wait until Article 3 on the budget to make its statement on the town financial condition. We'll now move on to the consent calendar. If you look at pages Roman numeral 3 and Roman numeral 4 in your warrant, I will call out the numbers of the articles one by one. If any voter has doubt about passing any motions or wishes an explanation on any subject on the consent calendar, the voter should stand and say the word hold in a loud, clear voice when that number is called. You need not be recognized by me. I will then inquire as to whether the request to hold is for a question or for debate. If the purpose of the request was merely to ask a question, an attempt will be made to obtain a satisfactory answer. And if that occurs, the article will remain on the consent calendar, absent a further request to hold. If the purpose of the request was to hold the article for debate, the article will be removed from the consent calendar and restored to its original position in the warrant to be brought up and debated and voted in the usual way. No voter should hesitate to exercise the right to remove matters from the consent calendar. It is the view of the voters as to the need for debate that is supreme, not that of the town officials who put together the consent calendar. Having said that, it is hoped that voters will remove articles from the consent calendar only in cases of genuine concern. In past years, it has occasionally happened that articles were removed from the consent calendar and, when reached in the ordinary course, passed unanimously without debate, thus indicating that the initial removal request was perhaps not fully considered before being exercised. I am now going to slowly read each consent article number. If anyone has a question or wishes to debate, please yell hold and stand. Article number 12. Article number 13. Article 16 has been pulled from the consent calendar. It will be heard in the normal course when we right after Article 15. The next article on the consent calendar is 17. The next article is 18. The next article is 19. The next article is 22. Could you please stand? Can you bring a mic to that gentleman? Your name and address for the record, please.
Robert Cole, 14 Churchill Street.
And you wish to hold for debate or you have a question?
Debate.
Thank you. 22 will be pulled from the consent calendar. Selectman Keller, do I have a motion to take Articles 12, 13, 17, 18, and 19 out of order and consider them together at this time?
So moved, Mr. Moderator.
Does that receive a second? It does. This requires a four-fifths vote to move things out of order, according to our rules. Does the Finance Committee wish to be heard?
No, Mr. Moderator.
Selectmen wish to be heard.
Selectmen are in favor.
We're not going to discuss these. It's a consent calendar. Anybody, all those who are in favor of these articles passing, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, is there anyone in opposition? Raise your cards, please. It is a unanimous vote. Mr. Keller, is there? Yes. That is correct. Thank you. Mr. Keller, do I have a motion in the words of the consent calendar motions as printed on page 4, Roman numeral 4 of the warrant for Articles 12, 13, 17, 18, and 19?
So moved, Ms. Murray.
Is there a second? Yes. Finance Committee wish to be heard.
No opinion.
Selectman?
Selectman in favor.
All those in favor of the motion, as you've heard, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? It is a unanimous vote. We move on to Article 2, Maureen Valente for a motion. Town Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Move to amend the votes taken under Article 3, Fiscal Year 08 Operating Budget of the 2007 Annual Town Meeting by adding to or deleting from line items thereunder, by transfer between or among accounts, or by transfer from available funds as follows. From 100 General Government to 400 Public Works, $66,041. From 500 Human Services to 400 Public Works, $3,500. From free cash to 400 Public Works in the amount of $40,000. All to be allocated to FY08 snow and ice expense.
Does that receive a second? It does. Ms. Valente for a presentation.
Yes. Thank you. At this time in the FY08 budget, we have a snow and ice deficit for the current fiscal year of $280,000. That is the amount we have spent beyond what was appropriated. State law provides there are two circumstances in which you can have deficit spend in a year. One of them is for snow and ice. The other is if a legal judgment had been made against the town. The reason the law provides that is because the DPW has to continue to make the roads and walkways safe and clear, and yet none of us can precisely predict how much snow, how many storms, how long they'll last, and when they will hit. So this is why the law provides for that. When that occurs, the Finance Committee and I and the Selectmen have a responsibility for trying to find alternatives to make up for that deficit. This is a start towards that deficit. These funds from the General Government and Human Services are for positions when the financial situation for 09 was becoming clear, and FY 08 I put on a hiring freeze, and these are positions for which salary funds are available because the positions were not filled. They include the GIS administrator, the staff planner in the planning department, and the budget personnel analyst. So those funds are available now to move towards the snow and ice deficit. Also, the smaller part of free cash is available to be able to move towards that.
Thank you. Finance Committee?
Finance Committee recommends approval.
Thank you. Selectman?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The Board of Selectmen recommend our approval. We all know it's been a hard winter, and Town Manager Valenti's explanation is spot on, so thank you.
This motion differs a little bit from the one you see in your warrant because we now have the dollar amounts and the budget line items from where these dollars are going to come. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 2? I see no one. All those in favor of Article signify by raising your cards. Those opposed, it is almost a unanimous vote. Well more than majority. We'll move on to the budget, Article 3. If you'll also look into your warrant at the beginning, there'll be a section on the budget marked as such, talking about how we vote, the tradition of voting a budget here in Sudbury. I'm going to repeat the highlights of it, just so you understand again how we vote on it each time. The tradition in Sudbury is to first take a motion from the Finance Committee proposing a budget that would be limited to the total amount that would be required to finance the Finance Committee's budget proposal. The limiting motion will only seek a declaration from the hall as to the overall limit on the budget. A vote in favor of the motion will not mean that town meeting has voted for a particular distribution of the total amount as set forth in the warrant. Once we dispose of the limiting motion, the chair of the Finance Committee will make the main motion on the budget. At that time, I will read line items 100 through 900 on page 5 of your warrant, and ask if anyone has a motion to amend. It is at that time that you can make a motion to amend to reduce a line item or to increase a line item by decreasing another line item by a similar amount. You cannot make a motion merely to increase a line item alone because then the budget will exceed the not-to-exceed amount that we have just voted on in the limiting motion that we're doing it immediately prior thereto. If you are at all not certain of our budget procedure, as I've explained it, please read the bottom third of page Roman numeral 2 and the top of page Roman numeral 3 in the warrant. I now recognize Vice Chair Marty Raganese of the Finance Committee for the budget limiting motion for the first part of Article 3.
Move that the amount appropriated under the fiscal year 09 budget not exceed the sum of $75,552,508.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mrs. Raganese, for a presentation.
Right. The limiting motion of $75,552,508 is an increase of $470,033 from the amount listed in your warrant on page 5. To explain, the offset of $347,238 listed under location 900 has been removed. This amount represents revenues from the ambulance reserve for appropriations fund, which will appear and be discussed as a transfer under the main budget motion. Now, let's discuss the remaining $122,795. Since your warrant was printed, the governor's budget released at the end of January indicates that Sudbury would be due an additional $248,000 under Chapter 70, funding for education. More specifically, there is $122,000 due to the town of Sudbury and $126,000, which is Sudbury's share of the amount due to Lincoln Sudbury. The budget working group, a collaborative group made up of representatives from the Sudbury Public Schools, Lincoln Sudbury, the town, the finance committee, and the selectmen, as well as all the directors of finance and the town manager, determined that while the governor has not yet signed the final budget appropriation, it was prudent, based on conversations with our state representative Tom Conroy, for this town of Sudbury to be able to include these funds in the fiscal year 09 budget. The budget working group exists so that all cost centers, the Board of Selectmen, and the Finance Committee have open communication with each other and the opportunity to work together for the benefit of the town. We met approximately 8 times from December through town meeting. In addition to all the Finance Committee's budget hearings, and all budgetary issues were put on the table and discussed, as well as the Finance Committee's limited budget growth long-term plan. When additional state aid is received, these dollars are not automatically provided to the cost centers for their budget. In this case, $122,000 to Sudbury Public Schools and $126,000 to LS. Rather, the use of these funds is discussed at budget working group meetings to determine where the largest need currently exists. For fiscal year 09, it was decided that of the $248,000, $23,000 would go to the town budget for public works to be put in the roadwork account, which had been reduced to below the fiscal year 08 level, and $225,000 would go to Sudbury Public Schools to help defray some cutbacks under their fiscal year 09 no override budget. Proportionally, the town and LS would have received $62,000 each, and Sudbury Public Schools would have received $124,000. The town and LS determined the need was greater at Sudbury Public Schools and decided to cede funds that could have arguably gone to them. Sudbury's leaders look toward what is in the best interest of the town as a whole, rather than what is in each cost center's best interest. Basically, 91% of this additional state aid will go to Sudbury Public Schools. This is an example of cost centers reaching across the table to work together, as in the past when both the town and Sudbury Public Schools have demonstrated that same collaboration when the shoe was on the other foot. One last clarification remains. When the amount we're talking about is $248,000, why are we only talking a budget increase of $122,795? Since Lincoln Sudbury is a separate entity from the town of Sudbury, it will receive its share of additional Chapter 70 aid directly from the state. Therefore, Lincoln Sudbury will reduce transferring this sum by reducing its net operating assessment to Sudbury by $125,205. The $795 difference from the $126,000 reflects an adjustment in the final Lincoln Sudbury allocation to Sudbury. Sudbury Public Schools will show an increase in its operating expense of $225,000, and Public Works will show an increase of $23,000. Thank you.
Thank you. Selectman?
Selectman, approval. I make a motion.
I'm sorry, that was approval? Thank you. Is there anyone who wishes to be heard on the limiting motion before we vote on it and move on to the main motion under the budget? Yes, right there.
Seifeldman, 38 Forest Street. The warrant gives an amount $500,000 less than what you're currently asking for. why not take the money, the extra money there, and use it to offset some of the expenses and completely remove the deficit for the snow removal, for example, and pay down some of the town debt instead of increasing expenditures?
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee or the town manager wish to answer that question?
This was the allocation that we agreed upon among the three cost centers.
The three cost centers being Lincoln Sudbury, Sudbury Schools, and the town government? Yes. Town manager?
I might add to that that the town carries a reserve fund of $147,000 every year for unexpected costs. That will also, to the extent nothing else emerges between now and June 30, be applied towards the deficit, the snow and ice deficit. I think we will have enough ways to bring the snow and ice deficit by June 30 to a manageable point. So we felt that's the best use at this point.
Thank you.
And excuse me.
Hang on a minute. Are you finished, Maureen?
Yes, Mr. Mennery.
Yes.
In that case, what would be the impact on our tax rate? Taxes are going to go up 4.6% even with a no override budget. Can this be used to reduce the taxes?
Yes, Finance Committee?
If we don't spend it, yes, it could be.
The answer is yes, it could. Does anybody else wish to be heard on the limiting motion? Yes, down there.
One question I have about just the whole overall big picture about our budget is the Lincoln Sudbury bond.
For the addition here, I've lost track of how much what percentage of the construction costs of this new school has been bonded and is in these numbers. And what remains to be bonded, if any?
Yes. Do we have an answer?
Mr. Moderator, would this be discussed under the motion? I mean, what's on the table right now is the limiting.
I'm sorry?
What's on the table right now is the limiting motion. This question perhaps would be better addressed under the budget, under the main budget article.
Right. I would agree with that, but for the future, if you have a specific line item question and you want to increase one number or decrease a number, that comes under the main motion. But since the question is asked, we will address it now. But for other questions, please hold them, those type of questions. This is for the general budget and not for a specific line item. But does someone have an answer either from the Finance Committee, LS?
I think
hang on.
To LS to answer that question.
Okay. We're going to go on to another question, and we'll come back to that. Okay. Does anybody else wish to be heard? Yes, right here in the front row.
Good evening. My name is Robert Stein, 7 Thompson Drive. The last few weeks, I have done some research on the town expenditures. I went back to the year 2001 and worked forward. What I found was, in my opinion, shocking. However, I have decided not to talk about the over $5 million of overtime.
Ms. Moderator, point of order. We're talking about the limiting motion.
Yeah, Mr. Stein, what I just said to the prior question, from now on, we're just talking about the budget in general, not to any specific line item. So that, are you in favor of the non-override budget, or you're opposed to the non-override budget? Okay, so if you have other comments that you wish to address why you're in favor of the non-override budget, could you do so now? Now would be a good time to do it.
So you don't
want to hear? No, you can, but not to address a specific line item. Just talk generally about the budget. Go right ahead.
I've decided not to talk about the sabbaticals for teachers at LS, or the hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on bonuses for retiring teachers, or the fact that out of 200 towns and cities in Massachusetts, Sudbury ranks near the highest in teachers' pay. If you take it into account the teachers only work 80% of the time versus teachers in other towns, are teachers the highest paid in the state based on their class workload. I'm not going to talk about the 37 kids that occupy our classrooms free of charge while we continue to hear complaints that class sizes are increasing and our children are suffering. I'm not going to talk about some of the courses at LS.
Mr. Stein, well taken. Mr. Stein, tell us what you are going to talk about. No clapping, please.
I do want to talk about something this town has never done. That is, give the public the right to give their ideas, their opinions, and yes, ask questions. I challenge the town manager and the two superintendents of schools to a town revenue and expense forum. The rules of the forum are simple. One, you are to bring a pad and pen. Two, we the taxpayers can say anything. We can give an opinion, we can give ideas, and we can ask a question.
There's been a point of order raised. What is the point of order? It's a good point of order, Mr. Stein. We have to address the limiting motion, why it's a good idea to support the Finance Committee's non-override budget, or why it's a bad idea to do that.
Mr. Moderator, when will I be given a chance to speak?
You're speaking right now, but the general ideas of let's have a budget forum, that's not appropriate under this particular motion. It'd be appropriate to write a letter to the two superintendents, the town manager, and suggest that and see what their response is, write a letter to the editor. But it's not appropriate right now. Yes.
If we vote for this motion...
Name an address for the record.
Hank Surrett, Longfellow Road. Mr. Moderator, if we vote for this budget, the main motion, are we required to spend that much money?
No. No, this is a limiting motion. You cannot spend... If this motion is made, and if this motion is passed, $75,500,000, we cannot then spend more than that. That's all this does. If you'd like to spend less, you can do that.
Get to the individual line items, will we be able, for example, to move for the deletion of the police overtime line specifically, or for the assistant town manager specifically?
No, you can make that as, that's not part of the motion. The motion would be to reduce line item, whatever it is, 200 by 100,000, and then when you make your presentation as to why on your amendment, then you can say what you wish to do.
But may you move to amend a line item to delete a specific item from within that?
No, I don't believe so.
Would a motion, for example, be in order to reduce general government by eliminating the position of assistant town manager?
No. What you can do is, in your mind, you can ask the question, make an amendment to reduce town government by X dollars. And then, if that is seconded, then we'll have a discussion. You'll make a presentation of saying the reason you're asking for whatever that number is, $100,000, is because you wish to eliminate the town manager's salary or position.
We used to be able to do this by individual line item in the past.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time since we've been able to do that.
I probably didn't have gray in my whiskers, and neither did you.
I can certainly attest for me. Does anybody else wish, does LS wish to address that question about the debt? Thank you. This is John Ryan for the LS Regional School Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. My name is John Ryan, and I'm a member of the Lincoln Sudbury School Committee. The debt for the share for Lincoln and Sudbury for the debt for the high school was broken into three different bonds. The first was in the amount of $14 million, which was bonded in FY05, and that was a 10-year bond to be paid, the principal to be paid back in equal increments over the 10 years. So through FY08, we have paid 4 years of that 10-year bond at $1,400,000 each. I believe that's a total of $5,600,000, which should leave $8,400,000 on that bond. The second bond was in the amount of $11 million, and that was bonded in FY07. And that was a 20-year bond in equal payment, principal, in equal payments of $550,000 each year. Through FY08, 2 years would have been paid off for a total of $1,100,000.
leaving a balance on that bond of $9,900,000. The third bond was the last bond where we had to wait for the final amount of state aid to come in, and that bond was in the amount of $1,000,000, and that was bonded, well, will be bonded this year, and that is a five-year bond. It'll be bonded this year and payments of $200,000 each year starting in FY09. So the total remaining on that bond is $1,000,000. To be honest, I didn't add that up, but I think it's 8.6 million plus 9.9 million plus 1 million would be the balance remaining as of the end of FY08.
Thank you. Does anybody wish to be heard on whether or not we should approve a non-override budget and feels it should be more or less? If anybody who wishes to be heard, speak up. Yes, sir, in the middle. Can you pass the mic along?
Kurt Larson, 95 Water Row. I just want to know what it will be the net increase to the tax levy, this surprise increase in the non-override budget over what was printed in the warrant.
None.
Okay. Yes, Finance Committee?
Nothing over and above the 4.6%.
So as the answer to my question, there will be zero increase to the tax levy?
Zero increase as a result of the additional $248,000. That's correct.
Okay. Anybody else wish to be heard before we vote? I see no one. All those in favor. Oh, sorry, sorry. Please stand up. Raise your card. Hi. Great. Can you pass the mic over here, please? Boy Scouts?
Beth Winograd, 75 Phillips Road. My question is, what happens if the state aid comes in at a higher amount?
Thank you. Do we have an answer for that question?
Yes. Mr. Moderator, I can probably answer that. We would have several choices in front of us, but probably more likely what we did in FY08. We received in FY08 $365,000 more in state aid than we had projected, and that was used to lower the tax rate this year. One of the reasons that the taxes are going up the 4.4% is that we didn't raise to the full levy in 08. As we had promised last year, if state aid came in higher, we had an appropriation level, so we reduced the taxes to $365,000 for the additional state aid we have this year. But I think Representative Conroy, relied on him to sort of give us a confidence level.
Thank you.
Would there be a way for us to say, if it were to exceed, that those monies could be appropriated to the schools?
Yes.
My understanding is you have to appropriate absolute dollar amounts. It can't be contingent amounts by state law. Town council may be able to confirm that.
The answer is no. Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes, right here. Hang on.
Wendy McFoy, 11 Douglas Drive. Does this mean we're not voting on the override tonight?
The motion before the hall that the Finance Committee and the Selectmen have approved and LS has approved and the Sudbury Schools have approved is what you see in front of you, a non-override budget. That's the motion. If you don't wish to vote in favor of it, you don't have to. Amen. Yes, anybody else wish to be heard? Okay. I think we're all set for a vote. All those in favor of the motion, as you see it on the view graph, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed, it is very overwhelming in past. We're now going to move on to the main budget motion. I recognize Chairman of the Finance Committee, Charles Woodard.
Thank you.
that the town appropriate the sums of money set forth in the warrant under Article 3 in the column FinCom non-override fiscal year 09 for fiscal year 2009 as follows.
Except as follows.
300, Sudbury Public Schools, $27,024,955. 300, Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School operating assessment, $16,429,155. 400, Public Works, $3,333,652. 900, Townwide Offsets, zero. The following items to be raised as designated by transfer from available fund balances and interfund transfers.
I think it's slide number 3.
From the ambulance reserve for appropriation account to 200 public safety, $347,238. From free cash to 900 unclassified benefits, $294,110. From the abatement surplus to 900 unclassified benefits, $321,000. From the retirement trust fund to 900 unclassified benefits, $25,000. The sum of $6,820,759 set forth as Sudbury Public Schools employee benefits to be immediately transferred and added to item 900, town employee benefits, so that the employee benefits total will be $11,022,888 to be expended under the direction of the town manager. To authorize the purchase of equipment funded under this budget by entering into lease purchase agreement.
Does it receive a second? It does. Mr. Woodard for a presentation. Yep. This will include the state of the town's finance because it's on the main budget motion. Instead of making it earlier when the selectmen made their report, the Finance Committee is elected to give their report now.
Thank you. Let me begin by saying that we respect the decision of the voters last Monday and are committed to responsibly implementing the no override decision. I would like to deliver my message tonight in the form of answers to what I believe are questions on the minds of many taxpayers as they consider the current state of finances in Sudbury. What does the Finance Committee do? We are responsible for reviewing the town and school budgets and making recommendations on spending requests to town meeting. While we do not have the authority to dictate to any of the cost centers how they spend their money, the act of recommending or not gives us influence on your behalf over the direction and the amount of town spending. Next question, who are we and what are our qualifications for the job? First and foremost, we are residents, we are taxpayers, we are volunteers. We have 4 seniors over the age of 60 and 5 members with children in the Sudbury schools. We have a blend of the experience and the fresh look at things. 3 of us have been on the committee for 2 years or less. Regarding our qualifications to represent you in town financial matters, the FinCom today includes the CFO of a major construction and manufacturing firm, the controller and treasurer of a large university, the partner in charge of the life sciences and healthcare practice of a major Boston law firm, 1 former and 2 current commercial bankers, one of whom is also a former investment banker and venture capitalist. A former president of CERF, a former president of the LS Scholarship Fund, and the retired chief investment officer of a large insurance company and chairman and chief executive officer of a large money management firm. The next question, how do we examine the budgets so that we can make judgments about the cost of operating the town and the schools? We take this responsibility very seriously. We review each of the cost center's detailed budgets, which requires hundreds of man hours of meetings from October through town meeting to ask questions and probe expenses.
These include FinCom member meetings with each cost center throughout the budget process, full FinCom meetings with the cost centers, and the public budget hearings in January, which are also available on cable TV. In addition to the budgets, the cost centers prepare financial spreadsheets based upon the FinCom specifications that provide side-by-side three-year trends in all significant revenue and expense items and all of the major cost drivers, headcount, student count, cost per student, average salaries per employee, average benefits per employee, safety officers per 1,000 population, and so on. We also look at readily available DOE statistics on such things as cost per student and teacher salaries as compared to our surrounding towns. How does a no-override budget result in a 4.6% increase in my taxes? The major components are the 2.5%, plus an allowable increase in growth that brings you to 3.9%. This is the standard non-override increase that a taxpayer should normally expect, plus an $887,000 one-time reduction in the annual state reimbursement on school debt for K-8 construction, which means that our annual net debt service is now higher. This equals a 1.5% one-time increase, bringing the total to 4.6% for this year. In addition, there are two offsetting amounts. A 0.6% reduction due to the fact that the one-time exclusion for the fire truck last year is not being repeated, and a 0.6% increase in the allowable levy since the maximum levy was not used last year, as Maureen explained earlier. Why are taxes overall going up so much this year if we voted a no-override budget that is increasing operating costs less than 1%? $1.9 million of free cash was used last year to reduce the amount of that override, and we do not have that amount of free cash available this year, so the difference has to be made up from this year's tax levy. In effect, we had a shortfall this year that ate up most of the Prop 2.5 levy before there were any funds available for the budgets. In addition, there is the $887,000 reduction in state debt service reimbursement that I already noted that has to be covered. Why are real estate taxes so high? The FinCom has looked at our costs compared to peers such as Lincoln, Concord, Wayland, and Acton. Our cost per student seems reasonable and is actually below the state average for the K-8 system. The major difference relative to Sudbury is that 52% of our households are occupied by families with children. This is one of the highest proportions in the state. What this means is that each household in Sudbury is consuming more school services than our peer towns, which in turn means that the schooling cost per household is higher, all other things being equal. The cost per household to operate Sudbury is therefore meaningfully higher than other towns. And it is difficult to make this up on the revenue side because we are primarily a residential community. Only 6% of our revenues come from commercial property taxes, whereas residential property taxes represent 71% of the total. Making things more difficult, the rate of increase in state aid dropped dramatically over the past 6 years, and in some cases, the amount actually decreased, although that has improved recently. In effect, in the past 5 years or so, the residents of Sudbury have substituted real estate tax dollars for reduced state aid dollars in an effort to maintain service levels. Why are the costs of running the town, and therefore taxes, increasing at a much higher rate than inflation? Operating the town and the schools is a service business, so people, and therefore employee compensation, are by far our largest cost. Wages account for 60% of the budget, and most of these are covered under collective bargaining contracts. Benefits and insurance comprise another 18%, so that employee compensation is 78% of the total budget, 73% if you include debt service. The major driver of cost increases is therefore employee compensation, because people are the largest part of the budget. Cost of living increases in salaries, combined with increases based upon years of service as a proxy for experience, the so-called step increases, which are found in almost all municipal union contracts, are expected to increase average salaries 5.5% in fiscal year 09
based upon existing collective bargaining agreements. Benefits per employee should increase 6.4% in fiscal year 09, a welcome reduction from the 26% growth over the last 2 years, which was a sizable increase experienced in both the public and the private sectors. In total, compensation per employee increased 13.8% over the last 2 years and is projected to increase 5.7% in fiscal year 09. Compensation accounted for 90% of the growth in expenses over the last 2 years. So why can't we live within Proposition 2.5? As I noted, 78% of costs and 90% of the increase in costs are for people. It is not realistic to think that you could limit compensation increases, which include health care benefits, to only 2.5% per year. In addition, the cost of utilities and fuel has been increasing far faster than 2.5%. If the level of state aid is variable, and commercial property taxes are only 6% of the total revenues, simple arithmetic says that you should generally expect an override every year, absent unusual circumstances, in order to provide the same level of service. The alternative is to reduce staff and reduce services, and among other things, increase class size in the schools. So what are we doing about the rate of growth in costs? First of all, the Finance Committee previously announced a recommendation to limit the rate of growth in operating costs, what we're calling a spending growth limit, over the fiscal years 2010 to 2012 to 3.75% per annum. This was part of our recommendation of the smaller $1.8 million override, which would have resulted in a 3.2% increase in the operating budget this year. We informed town and school officials that we would not recommend overrides to support spending growth in excess of that limit during those years in the absence of major changes in circumstances or major increases in uncontrollable costs. With no override this year, we will be starting from a lower cost base in 2010, so the FinCom plans to review that spending growth limit later this spring to consider adjustments. We believe a spending limit is still necessary to provide top-down spending guidance to the cost centers and some predictability of allowable expense growth so that they can make the long-term adjustments necessary to manage their missions within that limit. It also serves as a strong signal regarding the limits of town resources as union collective bargaining negotiations commence later this year for the labor contracts that will govern most employees for those same fiscal years 2010 to 2012. Secondly, the Board of Selectmen established a budget review task force in 2007 to examine the town's structural deficit, that is, the inability to keep the growth in costs and revenues in balance. The task force is comprised of town committee members and other Sudbury residents with financial expertise. It has a mandate to focus on both revenue enhancements and cost structure and will report on its findings at the 2009 town meeting. In summary, the Finance Committee is recommending a no-override operating budget of $75,502,508, which includes the $248,000 that Marty Ragone has discussed earlier. As she has already noted, $225,000 of this would go to the K-8 system and $23,000 to the DPW. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we hear from the Board of Selectmen, please?
Board of Selectmen support.
Okay, Board of Selectmen supports. We will now hear from Mr. Robert Jacobson of the Finance Committee. He will report on the, normally we have the Superintendent of Schools, Superintendent of LS, and Town Manager all give separate reports on their budget, but instead it's been decided that Mr. Jacobson will give all three right now.
Good evening. I'd like to thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I will be discussing the budget on behalf of the Town of Sudbury, the Sudbury Public Schools, and the Lincoln Sudbury School District. There will not be presentations or separate presentations from each of these cost centers tonight as in past meetings. This year, the Board of Selectmen, the Finance Committee, and both school committees were very concerned about the economic environment which we currently find ourselves in. We were also very cognizant of the fact that the voters of Sudbury were generous in approving override budgets in fiscal years 2003, 2006, and 2008. After much discussion between the FinCom Board of Selectmen, both school committees, town manager, and both school superintendents, we could not come to a consensus on one budget to present to the voters. That is why the ballot was fashioned as to give the voters three options for fiscal year 2009. The townwide election was held last Monday, where 4,221 votes were cast. The voters sent a very clear message that for fiscal year 2009, they wish the town and schools to operate within a non-override budget. That message has been delivered and received. Now, what the voters have every right to expect is that the Board of Selectmen, Town Manager, Sudbury Public Schools Committee, Superintendent of the Sudbury Public Schools, Lincoln Sudbury School Committee, and the Superintendent of the Lincoln Sudbury School District will make the best possible decisions they can to operate within the resources afforded them by the voters under the non-override budget and not, as some have commented, punish the voters for not passing an override. However, to be realistic, it should be expected that these decisions will not meet with universal acceptance, since voters have varying priorities as to the programs and services offered by the schools in town, and there are also regulatory and legal requirements to be considered. I am sure that there will be choices made that some people agree with and other choices that they do not. It is certainly within your rights as voters and town residents to question your town and school leaders why they have made certain decisions, and it is their obligation to explain those decisions. We also are not immune to the fact that some have vented considerable anger and frustration towards members of the Board of Selectmen, Finance Committee, and the school committees. I guess that comes with the territory, though I know of no one on these boards or committees who is not trying to do what they think best, and specifically speaking about members of the Finance Committee who I personally know best, there are some very accomplished people who are serving the town of Sudbury, and we should all feel fortunate to have their contribution, commitment, and sense of volunteerism. Now, certain issues seem to be written about and mentioned repeatedly, so I would like to talk about them tonight. For the moment, let's put aside the issue of whether or not we agree with these policies. What hasn't been done with any of the comments about these issues, however, is to put them in context. We have repeatedly read and heard about half-paid sabbaticals, retirement bonuses, and non-resident employees schooling their children in Sudbury. Some of these costs were agreed to a few contract cycles ago in exchange for a reduction in the salary increase percentage that the town's union employees were bargaining for. Voters need to remember that most of the town's employees belong to municipal unions, and federal and state law requires that town and school officials collectively bargain with its unions. By law, these negotiations are not and cannot be open to the public. Those not a party to these negotiations are prohibited from knowing the details of ongoing negotiations. Only the vote to approve a contract is done at a public meeting. Collective bargaining negotiations are just that, negotiations. I have been personally negotiating various contracts over 25 years of my professional life, and I have yet to execute a contract where I agreed with every clause in the contract I was signing. A negotiation is a give and take, and negotiating with a union is not an easy task, and Massachusetts is a very strong union state. We have read and heard about all these comments that I previously mentioned and the comments that we should just say no to them and not allow them. The reason given most often is that they are budgetary fat, unnecessary, and cost the taxpayers money. Can these policies be revisited in the upcoming negotiations? Yes, they can. Remembering, however, that a negotiation is a give and take, and not just a take by one side. Both sides must agree to the terms of a negotiation in order to get an agreement. Should those who have the responsibility of bargaining with the various unions on behalf of the town and schools during the upcoming cycle bargain hard? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the Finance Committee has been very vociferous in communicating to both sides of the upcoming negotiations that nothing, absolutely nothing, should be off the table in these negotiations. Both sides must do everything they can to negotiate a fair agreement that will deliver services in as cost-efficient a manner as possible. Another issue that gets brought up is overtime. Comments regarding this issue seem to imply that the town offers overtime as a reward to the employees at the taxpayers' expense. Most overtime paid for by the town, and this would not include overtime for police details that are paid directly by construction firms or utility companies, goes to Department of Public Works employees, police officers, and firefighters. In the case of DPW employees, it usually occurs when they are called back after their normal workday is over to work during a snow event. The town also contracts with outside firms for snow plowing services in an effort to keep costs down. With police officers and firefighters, overtime is utilized when shifts are not fully staffed. This happens when employees are out sick, on vacation, or disabled, and others are called in to take their place to fully staff a shift. In the case of the police and fire departments, much of the overtime is in lieu of hiring additional full-time employees. Those departments currently fully staff about 60 to 75% of the shifts, and that number is likely to go down in this next fiscal year. The town manager does an analysis annually as to whether it makes more sense to pay overtime or hire additional full-time staff that would also come with benefits and other compensation that both the police and fire employees are entitled to under their agreements. The town manager and finance committee reviewed full-time staffing statistics for police and fire employees per 1,000 of the population in comparison to our peer towns, and Sudbury is at the low end of these staffing statistics. Again, our goal is to put some context to these policies rather than just let some categorize them simply as just fat in the budget. Does that mean we shouldn't be looking for ways to cut costs where we can? Of course not. Should these policies be questioned? Yes, they should be questioned, but not necessarily attacked out of hand without addressing the context in which they were derived. There are those that say the town and schools should just be run like a business. There are some aspects of doing so that make sense, and some that are just not possible. We are speaking about municipal government, which employs municipal union employees. There are regulatory and legal requirements that prevent the town and schools from being run like your business and mine. Where it makes sense and we are able to use good business practices, we absolutely should. Where a business practice that we believe makes sense violates an existing governmental law or regulation, there is little we can do other than to protest that fact to our legislative representatives in the hope that they will consider revisions, but the town cannot just decide to violate these laws and regulations in an attempt to save money. Now I'd like to review in summary each cost center's fiscal year 09 budget status under the non-override budget. This first slide is a budget of what was appropriated for fiscal year 08 versus what is now being proposed to be appropriated for fiscal year 09. One item there, the $260,806,000 deficit that LS has, I'd like to point out this second footnote. They will be receiving $125,000 directly, as was discussed. So we reduced the assessment from Sudbury to Lincoln Sudbury here for fiscal year 09 to make up for that fact. So this deficit of $260,000 would really be reduced by the $125,000, bringing it down to really a $135,000 deficit. This next slide is the fiscal year 09 proposed no override budget versus what the level staff budget would have been, or what would have been needed in the level staff budget to fund current staffing levels and current programs. Again, this $800,000 is overstated by this $125,000, so it's really about a $675,000 deficit that LS has against their level staff budget. The subrate K-8 system has a $1.1 million deficit, and the town has a $719,000 deficit. So we're basically looking about $2.5 million that's going to have to be cut from all the various cost centers under the no override budget. As I stated earlier, I'm sure there will be discussion and questions regarding the decisions made to reconcile these deficits. The following slides will list the specific deficits, or specific cuts to be made. For the Lincoln Sudbury School District, there will be a total reduction of 5.7 full-time equivalent positions. 2.5 FTEs will be teachers. There will be two teaching assistants reduced, one full-time equivalent clerical and administrative support position, and 0.2 of a full-time equivalent position under nursing services. There will also be $223,500 of supplies, equipment, and services cut, $60,000 of the curriculum development and summer work cut. There will be $95,000 reduced from the athletics budget, $50,000 reduced from the activities budget, and $40,000 reduced from the daily substitute coverage budget. There will also be fee increases to help make up the deficit. The parking fee will rise from $200 to $280. The activities fees will be increased from $35 to $45. And the athletics fees are going to go from $165 per sport to $200 per sport. And there will be a family maximum. That number has not been arrived at yet. For the Sudbury Public Schools, there will be 21.05 full-time equivalent positions cut. This is after they receive the additional $225,000 in budget increase that we discussed previously. There will be 7.5 full-time equivalent core classroom teachers cut from the budget. There will be 4 other teachers cut. The other teachers would be from categories like music, art, foreign language. We will eliminate 7.55 full-time equivalent positions, which are the kindergarten and first grade teaching assistants, and 2 full-time equivalent secretarial and maintenance positions. There will be 44,000 cut out of technology, 102,000 cut out of supplies, equipment, and services, and there will be 62,000 and change cut from transportation reductions, mainly through reducing the routes and eliminating late buses. SPS will also have fee increases. For transportation, fees will increase from $225 to $350. And for a family, the maximum will go from $350 to $635. For sports, the first sport will increase from $125 to $195, and subsequent sports from $75 to $95. There will also be an increase in the activity fee from $30 to $50. On the town side of the budget, to make up their deficit, they will have a reduction of a little over 7 full-time equivalent positions. We'll be reducing 1.75 full-time equivalent police officers. We will be reducing police overtime, the equivalent of 3/4 of an FTE in the police. We will be reducing the overtime in the fire department, the equivalent of 0.4% of an FTE. We'd be eliminating the position of GIS staff, GIS administrator, the part-time staff planner, part-time personnel budget analyst. We'll be eliminating a lot of the part-time summer DPW help. We'll also be eliminating a half a position, which is a part-time, which actually is a few part-time positions, but an equivalent of a half a library position and 0.8 of a clerical position. We will be adding one firefighter equivalent position back using the funds from the ambulance reserve, which we will then defer purchase of an ambulance out 1 year to do that. And we will also be able to continue on with the Council on Aging van driver via contract we have with the Metro West Regional Transit Authority. Under that contract, they will cover the cost of the van driver. We will be reducing $309,000 in expenses from the town budget, half of which will come from the DPW budget, and the other half will come from all the other departments. They've already been notified of what their cuts are going to be by the town manager. Under capital spending, we're going to be reducing $120,000 of the budget by not purchasing the police cruiser that's on the schedule to be purchased this year, by deferring some building maintenance, and then also not purchasing the vehicle that was in the budget for the captain of the fire department. We will, same thing as we did with the last slide, we will be using some of the ambulance reserve funds, which we are deferring for another year out, to purchase the fire response boat that we're required to have. Again, I'm sure many of you will have comments and questions regarding these budget figures and the cuts that will be made. The Finance Committee, Board of Selectmen, Sudbury School Committee, Lincoln Sudbury School Committee, and officials from the town and schools are all here, ready and willing to answer your questions to the best of our abilities. It should be expected that you would exercise your civic duty and question those who make the decisions on how the town and schools are run. All those who are elected to or volunteer on the various boards and committees serving Sudbury are residents and taxpayers of the town, and we're all in this together. Sudbury is a great place to live now, and it will continue to be a great place to live in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Jacobson. We'll now get on to the main motion. I will start by reading the budget in numerical order by title. If anyone has a motion to amend or a question, please raise your card and stand up. For example, I will say 200 public safety. Does anyone have a motion to amend or a question involving 200 public safety? If someone has a motion to amend, it should be in one of two forms. I move to increase 200 public safety to the sum of X and to reduce, for example, 600 culture and recreation to the sum of Y, and the two must balance. Or you may simply make a motion to reduce, in my example, 200 public safety to the sum of X, without giving any other statement of what that you want to increase something else. A motion simply to increase a line item cannot be accepted. And the reason is because we already voted the limiting motion. We will debate and vote on any motion to amend. We will arrive at the end of this process with a main motion as it may be amended, and then we will vote on it. So I'm now going to proceed to the budget checkoff list. It's on page 5 of the warrant. The corrected numbers were shown to you on the view graph. It's the column marked non-override budget with the changes as made on the view graph. So any motion to amend or questions involving 1, schools, I see none. Any questions or motions on line item 100, general government? Yes, sir. Hang on a minute. We best give your name and address for the record again.
Mr. Moderator, Hexer at Longfellow Road. Move to reduce line item 100, general government, by the sum of $132,187 by eliminating the position of assistant town manager and transferring said sums to the Sudbury Public Schools.
Yes, before I ask for a second, that Mr. Surrett, as I didn't make it very clear earlier, you can move to reduce line item 100 by $132,187, but you can't keep going in the motion say how you want the town to reduce it by eliminating the town manager's salary or whatever else you have in mind.
I'll do that in the presentation. So I'll move to reduce that general government line item by $132,187.
Thank you. Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Surrett for presentation.
Mr. Moderator, the thing that has concerned me over the 30 years that I've lived in town is the growth in bureaucracy, not just in this town, but in all of the surrounding towns, and the unwillingness of the communities to share their resources and avoid redundant government. I bring this motion as a symbol of what I think ought to be done in terms of consolidation of overlapping functions. Our priorities in this town, and I respect tremendously the work of the FinCom and the selectmen working very hard with difficult numbers, but our priorities in this town are to provide teachers for the students, firemen to put out our fires, our roads to be plowed in the snowstorms, hopefully a pothole or two patched, and that minimum necessary amount of police force that we need. What I seek to do here is to eliminate a bureaucratic position and to make those funds available for the public schools.
Thank you. It received a second. Does anyone wish to be heard in favor or opposed to the motion to amend? Yes.
I have
the town manager.
Town manager, Maureen Valente.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Mark, if I can ask you to bring up the slides that I had for the information that sort of anticipating something in this direction. I think it's important to note why we're doing something and what the long-range, short and long-range repercussions of it should be. The assistant town manager, as well as many of the department heads for the town of Sudbury, wear multiple hats. They are not someone who just has one particular function. In the case of the assistant town manager, he is also, primarily it's about 75% of the time he spends, the personnel director for the town and the person who oversees, very specifically, the health insurance and all the benefits for both the Sudbury Public Schools and the town. As noted, we were able to bring in the benefits increase in this year to just about 6%, and that has to do a lot with the hard work that he did with our consultants bringing in that, with tremendous savings of dollars. We've heard from a number of people that we need, from the finance committee, et cetera, we need to be working when the new contracts come up. That's primarily what he does as well. He's the person who puts together, works with our labor council on all the contracting and doing all of that. I have one slide here. I believe it's slide 7, Mark. And I know this will be a little bit hard for you to see. I presented this for the Finance Committee last year. I compared our staffing to the town of Concord, which is just a little smaller than us population-wise, offers similar services. And in these key areas, and the personnel is one of them, let's just take a look. They have in Concord a personnel administrator works 80%, not quite 100, full-time. They have two senior administrative secretaries are working with that particular person. And they have these additional 75 hours of overtime in that particular department. The assistant town manager isn't even a part of this, has a separate job altogether. Just a personnel director, just for the town employees, very similar to us. What do we have? We have the personnel director who is also the assistant town manager, who is assisted by a part-time benefits coordinator. We had a third person in this office, benefits administrator, up to a few years ago, and in the last round of cuts, we eliminated that position. So here's what we have, and there's others you can see along there, conservation, health department, the finance director slash budget director slash purchasing director slash treasurer slash collector. We have just been dumping more work on a few key people for years. Mark, can you go, I think it's about two more slides. I just want to see, it's a bar graph. Yeah. This one here, this area of general government for the town of Sudbury is where we absolutely run the leanest. I've been talking about this for years. This is your spending per capita for general government for Sudbury versus those peer towns we keep talking about, our abutters to abutters, and the other communities that have AAA ratings. That red there, at a little over $50 per capita, that's what Sudbury spends for general government. You can see what the other communities do, and the average is up over 200. There's only one community that spends of this group less than we do in general government, and that's Littleton, a much smaller community who's also in the same shape that we are. And Mark, can you go on the next slide? You may say, okay, well, that's these peer towns you keep talking about. What about the rest of the state? Here's the rest of the state as percent of budget in FY07. There's what, 10, 12 communities ahead of us? Holyoke, Lynn, Haverhill, Fall River, Medford, they sound like Sudbury. These are the communities that spend less than us for general government. 312 that reported data spend more. The average is 6%. We run lean everywhere. The assistant town manager is not just someone, a bureaucratic position. This is someone who I can't even begin to describe all the things that are put onto this person, our responsibilities, our disabilities commission, our parking officer. I mean, just anything and everything gets thrown at this position. I strongly urge the town hall here to recognize what goes into these positions and that there's no way anybody can claim we are bureaucratically overstaffed. The last piece I will add is I've been working with the school committee and with the superintendent, and we are looking for ways for backroom operations that we can find some sort of way in the future to see if we can merge our operations. But we already do a tremendous of them. We run the same payroll system. I could list, you know, dozens of ways we already work very closely with merging and consolidating these, and we're going to look to see what more we can do. But I think the data speaks for itself. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on the motion to amend? Yes, right here.
Hi, Bill Braun, Sudbury School Committee. The Sudbury School Committee is very grateful for the sentiment behind for the awareness of the rest that the system is going to be under and the willingness to try to move money in the direction of the schools. That said, we would be would generally discourage trying to move money from any place to the Sudbury schools and vice versa. The development of this budget is a result of a long process of a collaborative process examining all the needs of the town and trying to take care of all those needs as best we can with, you know, under the constraints that we're under. It's taken, as someone mentioned, several months and we think that, and everyone that was involved in this did it with the best interests of the town at large at heart, as well as the cost center that they're elected or appointed to be stewards of. So I would just want to discourage a lot of motions from the floor to move money in one direction or the other. And while, you know, acknowledging our appreciation and gratitude for any wishes to appropriate more money for Sudbury schools, I think I would obviously oppose this, and but respectfully, and oppose future ones as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on the motion?
Right here.
Finance Committee.
Just a couple of quick comments. One, it strikes me that the title Assistant Town Manager is very misleading, given the multitude of duties this person has. One of which is, he also takes care of the health care benefits for the school system, so we're kind of getting two jobs for one there. And given, and just from a FinCom perspective, I have to tell you that given the mission, we think this town staff is very lean. And that mission is a lot more than police, fire, and road work. It includes the healthcare contracts, union negotiations, the library, council on aging. Marie went through some of it before. We have a very small town staff. Thank you.
Anybody else wish to be heard on the motion to amend? Yes.
One more additional thing on behalf of the Finance Committee. The Budget Review Task Force is also looking at this topic very carefully. If you remember, the Budget Review Task Force began its work last fall and is in the midst of its work through this year and will report at next year's town meeting. So I encourage the hall not to do this knee-jerk reaction. If we are going to study this issue, let's have it be well thought out and planned so that we can adapt and do this the best way that we think possible.
Thank you. We're going to put the motion on the view graph for the hall to see, and I'll try to read it to you. Before we take this up for a vote, anybody else wish to be heard on the motion to amend? I see no one. As soon as we get it up on the view graph, we'll vote it. The essence of it is to reduce line item 100 by 132,187, that's the general government line, and increase the Sudbury Public Schools line item 300 by that same amount, $132,187. And they'll get it up there in a second, and as soon as they do, we'll have a vote on it. Mr. Surrett, do we have that correct? Thank you.
Just a point of clarification.
Yes.
Mr. Surrett's presentation.
Just looking in the warrant, I noticed that the essence would be is not only eliminating the amount of money that is the assistant town manager's salary, also the benefits coordinator, and also the part-time clerk that works in the office. It gives us a few hours. So it would totally wipe out any personnel or benefit function that the town and the Sudbury Public Schools have for the benefit function. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to read that once more for the hall since we don't have it quite yet up on the screen. It's a motion to amend to reduce line item 100 general government by $132,187 and to increase Sudbury Public School line item 300 by $132,187. Does anyone need further clarification on the motion? We're ready for a vote. All those in favor of the motion to amend signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it's overwhelmingly defeated. Anyone else for line item 100, general government? I see no one. Line item 200, public safety. Line item, if I don't see your hand and I'm going through these too fast, just please stand up and shout. Line item 400, public works. Line item 500, human services. Line item 600, culture and recreation. Yes, can we have a mic over there? Please stand up, please.
Lisa Gutsch, Silver Hill Road. I was wondering, can we find out a little bit of information about what's in the non-clerical expenditures for Goodnow Library, which is under culture and recreation?
Thank you. Anybody? Yes, Maureen Valente.
If the library director is here, I would like to ask him to respond to that.
Is the library director is here? Yes, can you? Is there a mic up there?
Bill.
Oh, wonderful. That's why we try not to. Yes, go ahead. Bill, could you wait 1 minute? Are there any other questions on
600, culture and recreation, before we get an answer to the question. I'm going to move on, and we're going to go back to culture, that answer. Line item 900, town employees' benefits. Line item 900, town-wide operating and transfer accounts. Right here, please. Hang on one second. Kurt, hang on one second. We have an answer up there?
I'm working on it.
Okay. Keep working. Down here, please.
Kirsten Van Dyke, 19 Middle Road. It's a question, I believe, that goes to operating. It's another question regarding the impact on maintenance of the firehouse as a result of the non-override budget. And so I would like to know what is the amount that would have been dedicated to the maintenance of the new firehouse. You were now going to defer maintenance.
No, are you talking about the new fire station?
Yes.
New police
Great.
Station.
No, fire
station. The fire headquarters.
Fire she's calling it new.
Okay. I consider it new.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
not
fine.
For me.
We're all set with the question.
Right.
Can we have an answer?
I'd like the Chief McLean to talk about, if you're comfortable doing that, what is in there for the maintenance of that building?
Exactly.
We got it. Chief?
Bill Tarantino, director of the...
Hang on, Bill. Hang on one second. Go ahead, Chief.
Maintenance and operating expenses of the fire department buildings come out of the fire department budget and aren't affected by this line item.
Thank you. Yes, library director Bill Tarantino.
Right. Could I have the question again, please?
Yes. Who had the question here?
Kirsten.
The question was, what is included in the non-clerical line item that is $500,000 for the Goodnow Library?
Oh. Thank you. Yes.
It's every employee other than the director.
Thank
so
you.
So it includes all of the, includes three full-time positions and some 20-odd part-time positions, about 50% of which are... anywhere from 10 to 15 hours a week, and all of the high school pages.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on town-wide operating and transfer accounts? Yes, way back there, please. No. Yes, the Boy Scout with the mic up in the balcony, can you stay there, please? Yes. You're going to have to get closer to the mic and speak up.
Roger Nichols, Old Lancaster Road. Several slides ago, there was several $100,000 that was going into 900 unclassified benefits. Could we get some idea of what unclassified benefits are?
Great. Maureen Valenti, town manager.
I'm happy to, if you can point me again to where you were talking about.
900 unclassified.
It was at the beginning of the budget presentation.
Sure. What happens is when there's extra revenues beyond the local receipts and the property tax, we just put them all towards that. We could have put them towards public safety. We could have put them towards anywhere. But because you have to apply them directly to a line item, we put them to the benefits line. It's a tradition we've had in Sudbury going back before I've been here.
Thank you. Anyone else on townwide operating and transfer accounts? Right over there. Could you stand up, sir? Can we get a mic to this gentleman?
Yeah. Kurt Larson, 95 Water Row. I just would like to understand what kind of message we're trying to send to the voters here in town about the elimination of the printing of the town report for next fiscal year, given that that's one of our most important vehicles for receiving spending information and reports from the town staff.
Town manager?
I really wrestled with that one in terms of what are the expenses that we would reduce under the no override. As I put in my budget document, if you've looked online, I think we have a challenge to find another way of getting that printed and out to everyone. The bylaw says we have to get the information out. It doesn't specify some of those details, but your warrant will still be going out, as you know, and that has tons of information in it. Your town report will still be available online. My guess is we'll try to print fewer copies. The others we find in our experience that 95% of them end up at the recycling or the trash. As soon as we send it out, I think we're spending $9,500 to print a wonderful document, which I'm very proud of. We have a wonderful town report committee. But I think in this day and age, what we're finding is there's other ways of providing the information. There's other ways of getting it to you. And I've got a challenge to try to figure out how I'm going to, you know, to make that happen. But I think at this point, to spend $9,500 for printing a document that mostly gets thrown away, it was a judgment call. That was my recommendation on the budget cuts.
Thank you. Anyone else on 900 townwide operating and transfer accounts? We'll go on to the last item, townwide offsets. Anybody wish to be heard on townwide offsets? No. Ready for a vote on the main motion. This is a majority vote. Can we show the main motion on the screen, please? Do you have a point of order? So we're taking money away from the maintenance of the fire station. You want to know what's going to happen to the building?
How much money is being taken away?
Okay. Let me see if
maintenance of the fire station.
Got it.
Thank you.
This is the fire station on Hudson Road by Route 27.
Yes, the relatively new
station. Do we have an answer for that?
Mr. Moderator, my look at the warrant says that the maintenance budget in the non-override is the same as it was under the override, that is not a place where we made cuts. Would you concur?
That's not what was presented by the
Kincom
and his...
Hang on.
Let me try to explain. There is a budget that is in the building inspector, because the building inspector also wears the hat of being our facilities manager. Everybody wears these multiple hats. So in his budget is money for maintenance of our buildings, the Flynn Building, the Town Hall, and I believe Fairbank. But the police department, I mean, the fire department and the library have in their own budgets their maintenance money. It's not in that pooled amount. So that money is still there and has not been reduced. It's the money that the building inspector has for the older buildings where he's going to have to stretch that a little thinner.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions on town-wide offsets? I see none. We'll proceed with the main motion. As I said, it's a majority vote. Do we have it up on the screen? Mark? This is the main motion on the budget. All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed? It's passed by well more than two-thirds. It only required a majority. We'll move on to Article 5, Selectmen for a motion. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Is that Article 4, Selectmen for a motion. Yes. Do we have a motion on the Article 4, please, from the Selectmen?
Yes, Mr. Moderator. Thank you. Move to indefinitely postpone Article 4.
Does that receive a second? The motion is to indefinitely postpone. It does. The motion is to indefinitely postpone Article 4. Can we have the selectman for presentation?
Yes, Mr. Moderator. I think as everyone in town knows that we had an article in this fall to reconstruct a new or rebuild a new police station in town. That failed. We appointed an independent committee to look at the whole process. They've reported back to the Board of Selectmen with the idea that, yes, indeed, we do need a new police station. We do the location that we projected on Hudson Road is the appropriate location. The new police station they've come back with would be about 20% smaller, cost less money, and still meet the demands and the needs of the police department of the town of Sudbury. When we look at the Financial Times that we're all in right now, the board doesn't think it's prudent right now to proceed with bonding and constructing and borrowing for a police station. So we'll be coming back to you at a subsequent town meeting to address this issue. And the report that the board, the committee put will be on the town website and the library, I believe. Is that correct, Bill? Okay. Anyhow, hope
thank you.
Will indefinitely postpone.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone? Right here. You can come right to the front. Thank you.
Moderator Hank Surratt, Longfellow Road. I resoundingly support the indefinite postponement of Article 4, but wish it would say postponed for at least a decade. The voters have twice defeated this. It makes no sense for Sudbury, Wayland, Concord, Acton, Littleton to duplicate functions. We have very few overnight guests in our cell phone. When I go to El Paso, I rent a hotel room, I don't purchase a house. We need to think about reducing these costs long term by seeing if we can get together to share resources called cells. Sudbury does not need its own cell block. Similarly, many large corporations, which all of us work for, serve as attorneys or as consultants, consolidate their dispatch function. One utility I represent handles the entire northeastern part of the United States out of a single call center. It makes no sense to duplicate the dispatch function in each town. When I spoke the last time we were here and we spent $10,000 I didn't think we ought to spend, because I thought it was the camel's nose under the tent, I wanted to see if we could get a debate going on how we can share the resources of the towns that are similarly situated. So I urge that this article be indefinitely postponed, but I encourage the people who are involved in the process, and I'm willing to participate in the process, to see if we can consolidate these functions and avoid overlap and duplication.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on the motions to indefinitely postpone Article 4? I see none. The Finance Committee wish to take a position?
We agree with it.
I'm sorry? Yes?
We concur.
They are in support. We're now going to vote on it. All those in favor of indefinite postponement for Article 4 signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? Just about unanimous. It only required a majority vote. It passes. Article 5, Selectmen.
Ms. Moderator, move to indefinitely postpone.
Does that receive a second? Does that receive a second? Yes. Selectman.
Ms. Moderator, for the same reason we indefinitely postpone Article 4, we don't believe it's we need to renovate police station, so we'll definitely postpone it.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee agree?
We agree.
They agree. Anybody wish to be reheard on Article 5, the motion to indefinitely postpone? I see no one. All those in favor signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? It is also nearly unanimous. It passes. Only required a majority vote. We're going to move on to Article 6, the capital budget. Lawrence O'Brien, Selectman, for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Move in the words of the motion.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Mark, you. You're working on it, okay. Slow technology. This is the capital budget. This is a portion of the budget that I'll just begin while we're firing up the technology here. This is a portion of the budget that deals, that has particular constraints on it and requires that it have a separate presentation. Essentially, single assets with a cost of greater than $10,000 go to the Capital Budget Planning Committee. Multi-year projects with an aggregate cost of greater than $100,000 go to the same committee. Assets over $100,000 that may be acquired through lease purchase and prepared items that are prepared with a five-year planning horizon all come under the definition of what is required to be looked at and recommended by the Capital Planning Committee. How are we doing now? Computers are less than the projected amount, so they're running slow, and maybe we'll get them some quicker machines. Essentially, the process, I'll continue with at least some of the verbiage here. The process that goes on is that all of the town departments assemble their capital budgets that meet these various requirements that I've outlined, and they submit them to the Capital Planning Committee. This is a committee that is separate and independent of the Finance Committee. They review the list, they meet with the various department managers, they try to get the best possible understanding as to what the entire list is. I can tell you that it's fairly extensive and that it is far greater than what makes the final cut year in and year out. The list was prepared and prioritized by town and school department heads. Public hearings were held, and then recommendations were made to the Finance Committee and the Board of Selectmen. This year's CIP budget level represents an 8.1% reduction from fiscal 08, and as a whole, the capital improvements comprise only 0.5% of the town's total operating budget. Now,
Mr. O'Brien, can you tell, you have a copy of the warrant. The number in the warrant is 285095, and your number, as I understand it, is 3625?
Yes.
If some of those numbers are the same as in the warrant, could we just tell the hall so they can be thinking about that while we're waiting?
What the breakdown is of the numbers?
Yeah.
Yes, I'd be happy to go through that.
Please.
On that right now. Essentially, the budget summary is town hall painting for $30,000, building improvements, $62,500, a heating and ventilation system for the main computer room of the Flynn building, $17,000, a fire headquarters bathroom floor for $10,000, fire station design study, $11,400. Park and Recreation interior updates and Americans with Disability Act fixes and adjustments, $15,000. That is a subtotal for buildings of $145,900. And then we have $50,000 for the purchase of a Bobcat tractor. We have $27,000 for a John Deere backhoe lease. We have $24,400 for a lease for a Bombardier, $28,000 for a Mack six-wheel, a lease for a Mack truck, which is a six-wheel dump truck, $30,000 for the second year of a lease for a 10-wheel Mack dump truck, second year of a lease, $19,400 for a Chevy one-ton, is that a pickup though? One-ton pickup, $25,600 for the second year of a lease on a Mack six-wheel dump truck. The subtotal for DPW equipment is $204,400. The third year of a lease for the Munis tax software that generates all those delightful tax bills that we get four times a year, that's $12,200. The subtotal for software is $12,200, and that brings the total Capital Investment Planning Committee budget to $362,500.
Thank you very much. Did you have more to add, or should we take some questions?
Questions are fine. That's
essentially
the budget.
If anyone had any questions on all those or didn't hear some of the numbers, please raise your card. We'd be glad to. Mr. O'Brien will be glad to explain it to you. Yes, all the way in the back.
Roger McCaskill, Lancaster Road. Does the capital budget include the ambulance purchase, which is coming up later?
I'm sorry, include the...
We didn't hear that.
Does the capital budget include the ambulance purchase, which comes up in a later article?
The answer is no, because that's funded by a separate source of revenue.
Thank you. Anybody else has any questions on the capital budget? Yes, right here in front, please. Down here.
Could you stand up, please?
Laurie Abrams, 24 Goodman's Hill Road. You mentioned something about 11,000 something for a fire station study. Could you explain that?
Mr. O'Brien or the fire chief?
I'll defer to Fire Chief Cam McLean. The amount, Ms. Abrams, is 11,400 fire stations design study.
Mm-hmm. Two of the stations are aging, and a number of issues have come up that are ready to be addressed. Rather than just forge ahead, we decided to more prudent to get advice and guidance on which items should be dealt with first and how to best economically address those. This capital money allows us to put that plan in place by hiring an architect to develop that for us.
Thank you. Anybody else? Well, we now have the motion on the screen. Yes, way in the back, please.
Ryan Wiseman, Raymond Road. I have a question regarding the $10,000 headquarter bathroom floor for the relatively new fire department. Something the contractor could fix.
That's the drainage issue, right? Yeah. And it's how old is the relatively new? 92? Okay, 1992, just for everybody. I didn't even know the answer to that. But 1992 is when the relatively new old main fire station was built. And apparently there is there's a bathroom that has no drain. Is that the... I'm sorry.
I'll just stay up here for a while. When the building was constructed, there was a drain put in an upstairs bathroom that for some reason was put at the highest point in the floor with the floor grading away from it. That has created a problem with electronics in the floor below. When I think you get the picture. We need to correct that. It's long past time to get the original contractor, if you're still in business, to come and repair that, and so we need to do that on our own to avoid future damage.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions? On Article 6.
I think that's a good example of how long it takes for some things to work its way through this committee. Get to the top of the list.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 6? Okay, can we see the motion back on the screen, please? What's that? Yes. Can you get the mic over there? Someone up in the balcony? Could you stand up, please? Raise your card. No.
Hello, John Starr, 181 Woodside Road. I'm just curious as to why in the non-override budget there are three additional lease vehicles, specifically 1986 Mac, 1997 Chevy, and the 1988 Mac that are not included in the override 1 and override 2 budgets.
We have either the finance committee or the town manager wish to answer that.
Andrea, is that something you can address?
This is Andrea Turkelson, finance director.
The capital committee opted to allot additional funds under the non-override in order to help the critical situation in the DPW. The DPW has a number of vehicles that are purchased under the lease purchase, roughly a five-year lease. In order to keep these items, the capital committee allotted to provide an additional $75,000 toward the second year of three additional vehicles that would not otherwise be needed under the override situations.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 6 before we vote? I see no one, and before we vote, we can ask the Finance Committee for its position.
Finance Committee recommends approval of the capital budget.
This motion is different than the one in your warrant because this one has the final number in it, and it also does not call for borrowing. Therefore, it is a majority vote. All those in favor of Article 6, it appears on the view graph, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed. It passes almost unanimously. Article 7, Fire Chief Ken McLean.
Moderator, I move in the words of the motion.
He moves in the words of the article. Is there a second? There is. Chief McLean.
We're proposing to purchase a fire department ambulance similar in purpose to the vehicles that we have presently. We started operating the ambulance in 1978 and have been doing continuously since then. We run just short of 1,000 runs per year, and this causes us to replace the ambulances once every 5 years. And when we do that, the primary ambulance then becomes a reserve or backup ambulance. That five-year period has passed to make sure that we continue to provide reliable service to the community. We bring this forward for your vote so that we can purchase the new vehicle this year.
Thank you. Selectman Drobinski?
Yes, Mr. Moderator. Board of Selectmen support this article.
Bob Jacobson, FinCom?
Finance Committee recommends approval of this article.
Anybody wish to be heard on the ambulance Article 7? Yes, way in the back, please. Could you stand up, sir? Hang on for the mic.
Neil Kaufman, Knobscot Road. How many miles does the ambulance that you wish to take out of service and replace with the new one have on it?
Chief McLean.
The ambulance that is going to be become the reserve ambulance for the next 5 years has between 50 and 60,000 miles on it now.
And that won't last?
I'm sorry?
That's not going to be serviceable any longer?
Oh, sure. It'll be serviceable for another 5 years anyway. That's why we keep it in reserve, so that it's available to us if the primary ambulance goes down or if we have sufficient staff and we have occasion to need second ambulance, then it's available to us. We do not dispose of the ambulance until it is 10 years old. It spends 5 years in frontline service and then 5 years in reserve.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 6? Chief McLean, why don't you stay there for a minute? Anybody wish to be heard on Article 6? Yes, this gentleman right there.
Roger Nichols, Old Lancaster Road. Where are the $100,000 in funds going to come from?
The money that is we're asking you to appropriate tonight comes from the reserve, a receipts reserve for appropriation fund, which is segregated from town municipal funds and collected for fees we charge for ambulance service. Most of that it comes from insurance companies and builds up. We use it partly to purchase the ambulance once every 5 years and partly to create offsets against our budget for the cost of operating the ambulance, which is actually discussed a little bit earlier about the offset coming from the ambulance account. So this money is not coming from taxation and does not affect your tax rate.
Thank you, Chief. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 7? I see no one. All those in favor of the motion on Article 7 on the view graph, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it is also nearly unanimous. It passes. We move on to Article 8. Motion to be made by Bob Jacobson of the Finance Committee.
Move to appropriate the sum of $285,520 for the Transfer Station Enterprise Fund for fiscal year 2009. And further to authorize use of an additional $30,912 of enterprise fund receipts for indirect costs, such sums to be raised by $290,000 in receipts and use of $26,432 of retained earnings of the enterprise.
Does that receive a second?
Thank you.
Yes, it does. Mr. Jacobson.
The Finance Committee is just recommending of using the enterprise fund money for what it's supposed to be used for.
Thank you very much. The Selectman, Mr. Keller.
The Selectman support the article and urge you to vote yes.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 8?
I see no one. All those in favor of Article 8 signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? It appears it is unanimous. Article 9. Mr. Jacobson of the Finance Committee.
Move to appropriate the sum of $472,426 for the Pool Enterprise Fund for fiscal year 2009. Such sum to be raised from $445,667 in receipts of the enterprise and use of retained earnings of $26,759 of the enterprise, and further to authorize the use of an additional $65,530 appropriated under account 900, Town Employee Benefits in Article 3, Fiscal Year 09 Budget for Indirect Costs.
Does that receive a second? It does. Jacobson?
The town has never been able to fully fund the pool from the Enterprise Fund. That's why the additional $65,000 comes out for benefits. Other than that, the Enterprise Fund covers the enterprise of using the pool. The Finance Committee recommends the use of this money for the pool.
Thank you. Mr. Keller, Selectman?
The selectmen are, urge you to vote in favor of this motion. I would also like to point out that if you've been to the pool recently, you've noticed there's a new scoring system up on the wall there that was paid for entirely by donations from citizens of Sudbury, parents of swimmers who got together and raised the money to have a scoring system. So I'd like to compliment those folks who did that and point it out as an example of ways we're trying to save money in town.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 9? Yes, right here, please. Stand up, sir.
Sure.
Hang on 1 second, sir.
How the amount of $65,000 compares with previous years? Going up, going down, what's the trend?
Thank you. Maureen Valente?
I believe it's going up at the rate that health insurance and benefits are going up, because that's what it covers, is the indirect costs or the benefits of those employees at that. So to the extent that health insurance and those costs continue to rise, it rises proportionately for that.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 9? Yes, right here, please. Stand up, sir. Thank you. Maureen Valente?
I'd like to ask the Park, Recreation, and Atkinson Pool and all the other things he does, Director Dennis Mannone, to address that.
Mr. Mannone, Park and Rec?
Yes, as of July 1st, the pools will slightly increase. We try to go every other year, but the rise in utility costs and other services, we will have to make a modest increase this year again in July.
Thank you.
What do you call a modest increase?
We try to put a percentage. Non-residents get charged a little bit more, so it's usually $2 or $3 per month, depending on the membership package.
Thank you.
This increase for this lack of closure between receipts and costs amounts to somewhat more than 10%. And I don't suppose you're going to be increasing fees by that amount.
Nope. As with all the cost centers in town, we look to ways to cut. If you've been to the pool, actually, we've actually shut off the lights now. We only run a half a bank, so we're doing everything we can to cut costs. So we will be looking at our expenses as well. We have swim teams. We're actually going to open up the pool a little bit earlier to get a adult swim team in, which is revenue. So a lot of our revenue does come from rentals.
What do you think would happen if the fees were increased by 10%?
Well, I think we'd end up losing a lot of our customer base, so we try to go up modestly so people can absorb some of that cost. If we go up too fast, too soon, members will seek other alternatives. We are just a pool. We like to be more than a pool, a fitness component, but there is a lot of local pools and fitness clubs in the area that we're trying to compete with on a pool level.
Thank you very much. Anybody else have any questions or comments on Article 9? I see none. All those in favor of Article 9 signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? It's nearly unanimous. It passes. We'll move on to Article 10.
Barbara Chisholm, town accountant.
Move to indefinitely postpone consideration of Article 10.
Does that receive a second? It does.
Ms. Chisholm?
There are no unpaid bills.
That's why it's being indefinitely postponed. Does anyone have any bills they'd like to submit to the town? Hearing none. Do we need discussions on this? I see none. All those in favor of Article 10, signify by raising your card. All those opposed? That one is unanimous. Article 11, Selectman O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The Board of Selectmen moved to indefinitely postpone Article 11, as there are no funds in the non-override budget to be added to this year's, as a contribution this year to the stabilization fund.
Debbie Zirka, FinCom.
Debbie's not here. The FinCom recommends approval.
Recommends approval. Anybody wish to be... did I ask for a second? Anybody a second? Yes, there is. Anybody wish to be heard in favor or against? I see none. All those in favor of Article 11 signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? That passes unanimously. Article 12 was on the consent calendar. It passed. Article 13 was on the consent calendar. It passed. Article 14, collective bargaining funding. Selectman Keller for a motion.
Mr. Moderator, if I could, I'll do that from here.
Yes.
Okay. Move to appropriate the sum of $33,000 for the purpose of funding $30,000 for fiscal year 07 police union retroactive salaries and $3,000 for fiscal year 07 fire union retroactive salaries pursuant to recent arbitration proceedings, said sum to be raised by transfer from free cash.
That receive a second? It does. Mr. Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. You heard earlier when Mr. Jacobson spoke about union contract negotiations in town. Well, we have contracts with our fire and police unions, and in the past year, we attempted to negotiate the contract which ran from fiscal year 07 to fiscal year 09. We bargained in good faith. The union likewise bargained in good faith. We were unable to come to a settlement of those negotiations, and both the fire and police union contracts went to arbitration. Arbitration is the point where when you can't agree, both sides submit their presentations to an arbitrator, and the arbitrator decides. Immediately before they went to arbitration, we were at a point where negotiations were being conducted by Wayne Walker, the assistant town manager, and Maureen Valenti, the town manager. We were at a point where we were offering an amount that we thought was appropriate. The union was at a point where they would not accept that, and they had an amount that was greater than that. We chose to go to arbitration. The arbitrator came back with an award that was a little bit more than we had been offering and somewhat less than what the union had been holding out for. So we walked away from that arbitration, like many folks do, a little bit unhappy. But in the bigger picture, we think that it was important that the town took a stand in negotiating and going to arbitration when it felt it was appropriate. We think it's a message that we are trying to deliver to all of our town unions, that we have financial constraints and we mean no disrespect by going and fighting, so to speak, at an arbitration. It's part of the process that's necessary, I think, in today's economic climate. So with this result, this funding has to retroactively fund fiscal year 07, fiscal year 08, and is covered in this past budget, and 09, obviously, we just passed. So we urge passing of this this motion.
Thank you. Ms. Raganese for the FinCom.
FinCom recommends approval, and I'd just like to add to what Selectman Keller said. The town manager expended a considerable effort on this whole process, pushed back against the unions very hard, and we think wound up with a reasonable settlement for the town. She spent a lot of time in these negotiations. She and her staff spent a substantial effort collecting data to provide to the arbitrator, and I think we should be pleased with the result. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 14, signify by raising your card? Yes, on the end there. Thank you.
Tammy Dufault, Silver Hill.
This is more just a protocol question. I do recall we voted, I think, on this back in December, and I just have a question why it's being presented again.
Yes, we did. We voted on the firefighters' contract at that point. The police were proceeding a couple of months behind. Same mediator, same arbitrator, but just we didn't get it done in time for the December. It kept going, so here we are now adding it to the annual. We'd actually done it a few months ago. The police union was nice enough to agree. They could have requested us to call a town meeting in 30 days of settlement and agreed to put it off till now, and we do appreciate saving the cost of having a special town meeting.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard on Article 14? I see no one. All those in favor of Article 14 signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? It passes by well more than two-thirds. It required a majority. Move on to Article 15. Fire Chief McLean.
Moderator, I move in the words of the article.
Does that receive a second? It does. Chief?
This motion really perfects something that we did last year and discovered subsequently from the Department of Revenue that we needed a special act of the legislature. You may recall that there was some discussion relative to injured on duty insurance payments that flow to the town when police and firefighter personnel are off duty because of some injury they've received in the line of work. After 2 weeks of such a situation, the insurance company payments kick in, but because of the way that the law is set up, those do not flow back to the salary account from which they originated to pay the employee while he continues or she continues to be out on disability. Instead, it flows to the general fund. And not to the department, leaving a deficit that, in a place where now overtime is being generated specifically because of the vacancy created by this IOD, or injured on duty. In order to perfect what we did last year, which was to vote to allow those to flow to the correct salary account, we need to have a special act of the legislature, and this motion allowed that. Moves that forward.
Thank you. Ms. Ragney, so the FinCom?
Yes, the Finance Committee recommends approval of this article.
Mr. O'Brien, Selectman?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The board supports this motion. This is a technical adjustment, as the Chief outlined in his presentation from last year's town meeting, but also just for the benefit of the hall. The town does insure against these overtime expenses when they relate to injured on duty, as the Chief described, and this is an effective way of getting the money back into the hands of the police and fire departments that they can pay that overtime for the shifts that are being filled due to the loss of service from the person that's been injured on duty. We urge your support for this article.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 15? I see no one. All those in favor of Article 15 signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? It passes unanimously. Article 16 was, we have Finance Director Andrea Turkelson for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Move in the words of the article, except that the amount listed under the Youth Commission shall be $75,000.
Does that receive a second? It does. Ms. Turkelson.
Thank you. As printed in your warrant previously, the limit to the Youth Commission was listed as $30,000. Since then, we've asked to consider increasing that to $75,000. The reason for that is that the participation in the Youth Commission's summer camp program continues to increase. With that, there has been an increase in program-related expenditures, increasing the revolving fund used to $75,000 will accommodate the increased demand for the Sudbury Youth Summer Camp and their other youth services. It's important to note that the increase in the expenditures in this area are funded from the additional revenues from this revolving fund, so there is no increase to your taxes or the tax levy.
Thank you. Finance Committee?
We recommend approval of this article.
Selectman?
The Board of Selectmen also endorses and asks for your support.
Anybody wish to be heard on the Article 16? Yes, on the side here, please. You have a Boy Scout? Thank you.
Tammy Dufault, Silver Hill. I just want to ask, it's really more so a request on this. I know that they open up the enrollment for the summer program for a short period of time, and I would ask that be extended for citizens before it's opened up to surrounding communities.
Yes, the town manager?
Well, we can take note of that. Thank you for that suggestion.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 16? I see no one. All those in favor, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? It is unanimous. Article 17, 18, and 19, we're all done on the consent calendar. We're now on Article 20, Selectman Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I'm going to be making the motion, and then I'll be deferring to David Levington, who will make the presentation. Move to authorize the Board of Selectmen to petition the Great and General Court to pass a special act for changes or additions to the regulation of certain property tax exemption eligibility requirements for the elderly. Chapter 320 of the Acts of 2002 to equalize the eligibility requirement with the provisions of the state circuit breaker tax legislation, said special act to take effect without further action by a future town meeting.
Does that receive a second? It does. David Levington for presentation from the Senior Tax Relief Committee.
Thank you. David Levington, Knobscot Road. We're talking about the state law that allows senior citizens to defer their property taxes, usually until such time as a house is sold or the both people die. This is a long-standing state law that has several limitations. The town was required to charge 8% interest, and you didn't qualify unless your income was under $20,000 a year, later raised to 40. 5 years ago, the selectmen put an article before town meeting, which we approved and the legislature approved, allowing Sudbury to charge a lower interest rate and to raise the eligibility to $60,000. Since it's been 5 years, the selectmen asked a committee to look at this law to see if it was doing a good job and or if it could be improved. I'm reporting for that committee. The first thing we looked at was to see how much this was being used. And we found good news. As the interest rates went down, the number of taxpayers who were deferring their taxes increased to the point where this year we have 64 people deferring their taxes. That means 64 families were able to stay in town and might not have been able to stay in town otherwise. So we looked to see what kind of families they are, who's taking advantage of this. And it was very encouraging. We found out that out of the 62, 41 had income under $40,000. 46 lived in private homes and 16 lived in condos, mostly Frost Farm. 57 were over age 65. 38 had lived in Sudbury for over 40 years. And they were in modestly priced homes for Sudbury. The average assessed value was $418,000. So this looked to us as if this law is doing what it should do. It's allowing people who live here a long time, who have low incomes, to stay in town. We think it seems like a pretty good bill. We also found that it had very little risk to the town. Every time somebody wants to defer their taxes, they sign what's called a deferral and repayment agreement. You might think of it as a mortgage. The town puts a lien against the property, and this lien can't exceed 50% of the value of the home. So the town of Sudbury is in very little chance of losing any money on this. Last year, there were, I think, four deferrers who repaid their taxes, and six new deferrers for next year. So the bill is starting to level off in that way. The cost of the town is also quite low. Taking an average house with a $5,000 tax bill, if that tax is deferred and the selectmen are now charging 2.5% interest, it's like a 2% interest subsidy that we're providing to the taxpayer. That's about $100 a year. The only other cost is a sort of a carrying cost until they repay their money. And according to our calculations, the total cost is about $120 a year for a $5,000 house. So 62 deferrals last year cost the town about $7,500. There's also a hidden cost to the taxpayers, the law of unintended consequences. If you defer your taxes, then according to law, you're not paying them in cash, and so you don't qualify for the state's circuit breaker credit. So each person who is deferring risks losing that circuit breaker. Some folks are able to defer part of the taxes and still get the circuit breaker. We think that's a mistake and a bad law, bad tax law, and we hope to try to do something at the state level to change it, but that's for another day. The benefits of this to the senior citizens are pretty obvious. The benefits to the town are pretty obvious. I won't try to estimate them in dollars, but if we have 50 families staying in their homes rather than leaving and having new families come in, the costs to the town are lower. We senior citizens are a good bargain for the town. We don't know how many people are eligible for this. We spent a lot of time working on it. We got some good data from the Social Security Administration, also from the Department of Revenue. I urge you to look on the town website, on the assessors page, and see our complete report. Our best estimate is that as many as 100 to 200 families might eventually want to look at this, but there's no way to tell. We concluded this is a good bill, and we made four or five recommendations. One was better counseling should be available. The assessors like this program, but they're sort of having a hard time with counseling. The Council on Aging is going to try to help with that. We also urged increased data collection, so the selectmen will have a very good idea of how this bill is working, because they have to establish an interest rate every year. We decided that there was no need for a sunset provision, since the selectmen can control this very well through the interest rate. We thought we should do a better job of publicizing and communicating about this to the public, and this presentation tonight is part of that. Spread the word. We urge the selectmen to be very careful about any rapid increases or changes in the interest rate. Once people commit to this program, they expect it to be consistent. And we, the selectmen, have accepted that and agree to that. And finally, we thought that the eligibility should be indexed. It was set at $60,000 5 years ago. We thought it should be set at something which would keep going up with inflation. This article tonight addresses that. This would allow the selectmen to try to get a special bill through the legislature, which would index this to the same thing as a married couple pays for the circuit breaker. Collects from the circuit breaker. So we recommend approval of Article 20 and urge your support.
Thank you. Is there a second to the motion? There is. Finance Committee.
Finance Committee recommends approval.
Recommends approval. Selectmen.
Selectmen recommend approval.
I see the chairman of the Board of Assessors here with a position for the board.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The Board of Assessors supports this article unanimously.
Anybody wish to be heard on Article 20? Yes, right here, please.
Pat Holland, 388 North Road. As chairman of the Board for the Council on Aging, the Board unanimously supports this article.
Thank you. Yes, right in the back.
Judith Deutsch, 41 Concord Road, Sudbury. My understanding, I believe it was in 2004 when we got the lower rate approval, our assessors and our selectmen had agreed that the interest rate charged for deferral would be the same rate that the town would have to pay to borrow money. Now, is that still the case?
Thank you. We have an answer?
Yeah,
yes.
The answer is, Ms. Deutsch, yes. The cost of borrowing money does go up and down. We get an annual recommendation from the town treasurer who advises us on what the rate should be, and I believe that we have kept it very close to what the original 2% rate was. Currently, we're at 2.5%.
I'm asking if that is what the town needs to spend to borrow the money.
Does that cover our cost?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If I could clarify on that, we've not, so far with this program, we have not had to borrow funds in order to make up that difference. We've been able to do it within the confines of the cash flow of our overall budget. So we've actually not spent money on interest to borrow money. If we end up having to do that at some point, we'll have a decision to make about whether this program is important enough for us so that we as a community would subsidize that interest rate for the folks who are eligible for it. Speaking personally, I, for one, would be in favor of that because I think this is a very important program for the community. But fortunately, up until now, we've not actually had to incur interest expense to run the program.
Well, why have you raised the interest then on the deferred parts of the house, whatever?
What was that question?
We lost you, Ms. Deutsch. We didn't hear the question.
Oh, why did you raise the interest rates then? It wasn't costing you. Because the original understanding was that the interest rate that was charged to the deferred loan would be the same as it would cost the
To borrow money, that's correct. And go ahead, Andrea.
Right, when we opted to reduce it from the 8%, it went down to 4%. We then further dropped it to 2%. Each year, as Larry mentioned, we take a look at what the prevailing interest rates are. We use some indexes to take a look at what the appropriate rate would be to charge. We like to keep that rate as low and as steady as possible. It's been 2.5% for the last several years, and barring any significant change in the interest rate and the economy and the town situation, we hope to continue with that.
Does anybody else wish to be heard on Article 20? Yes, right over here, please. Mike, stand up, please. Thank you. That's fine. Start there, and we'll move back.
Carolyn Lee, Mossman Road, 28 Mossman Road. I just have a question. Can somebody give a brief statement on what this circuit breaker tax legislation is, since it seems to be incorporated in this article?
Yes. Mr. O'Brien?
David, you want to... If they give a microphone to Dave Levington, I think he would be...
Let's go the other
way. Dave, why don't you come down to this mic right here? And can the Boy Scouts stay right there, because we're going to call on that person next. Dave.
The Circuit Breaker is a state program. Was established first by the support of Senator Fargo several years ago. It provides that if you meet the eligibility and your taxes exceed 10% of your income, you can get a credit of up to $900. Last year, about 175 people in Sudbury qualified for it.
Thank you. Yes.
My name is Mara Houston of 578 Keekham Road. I'm also a member of MICA, which is a social action group based in Framingham and Sudbury. MICA has taken a look at this article, and we found two major benefits to this article. One is it allows seniors to stay in their homes longer. They can enjoy the golden years and year in the native towns where they have raised their own families. From the other side, from the financial point of view, which was mentioned briefly in the presentation, if these seniors move out of their houses, the house is generally going to be occupied again by a family with children. The taxes on those houses will not cover the expense to the schools to educate those children. So it's the financial benefit for the entire community to support this article.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 20? I see no other hands. All those in favor of Article 20, as you see it on the V-graph, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? It is a unanimous vote. If you wish, we can stay and move on to 22 is consent. We can move on to 21 and maybe 23 if you wish to stay. All those in favor of staying beyond 10:30, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? Do I have a motion to adjourn till tomorrow at 7:30? Is there a second? All those in favor? We're adjourned.